This is the Mosaic Church Podcast. Mosaic Church is committed to making disciples that discover Christ, connect in Christian community, and serve others and the world.
You know, we have been going through the whole book of Romans, and we are now on chapter 10. And Romans is a powerful book. It's an important book. And let me encourage you to read it carefully. I don't know if you've ever experienced this yourself, but there's times where you get a, you know, someone tells you something or something happened in your life and it changed and it alters the course of your life. And I like to share stories of my own life or my family. I try not to ever share stories of your stories that you've told me. Years and years ago, somebody told me that they were pregnant, and I inadvertently told the congregation a little early, so I try not to ever do that again. If it was you, I don't remember exactly who it was. I'm still sorry. I remember my dad telling me the day that his dad died. It altered his life. When you're a 10-year-old boy in some rural town of Ecuador, and the only person who, and there's no like social services. If you're the only, the dad is the only way to, you have a roof over your head and or food on your table, and then you hear the news that your dad died, it alters your life. Does that make sense? You know, so there are moments in all of our lives that maybe you, something experienced in your life that altered your course of action. Years ago, some of you who've been here for years know my story, but I had a supernatural encounter with Jesus, and I was reminded of it because I had a former alumni come through town, and they were going to the same campgrounds that this happened, and I totally forgot about it, Lake Swan, somewhere near Ocala, and I had a supernatural encounter with Jesus and the Lord, and it altered my life. I was going this direction, and literally within a 10-minute span of having this supernatural encounter, kind of a Saul Paul, but you know, not that great, but supernatural in my life, it literally changed direction in my life, literally a 180. Sometimes people get a medical diagnosis and life changes. Sometimes it's great news, you know, and your life changes. And so we're going to be talking about what Paul is talking about, is the emphasis in how our faith in Christ can lead to some significant changes in our lives. I'll be sharing some stories of my own life and my own experience and trying to make the point that Paul is trying is that we need faith in Christ. And it's important that we proclaim Jesus because God has endowed us the responsibility to share the good news. If you have your Bibles, chapter 10, 1 through 4, and it says, "Brothers and sisters, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites." And again, do you remember, Paul is writing to a church in Rome. These are believers, but there's two cultures that are kind of under one roof. And there's those who were Jewish, raised Jewish, and they've come to know Christ. They're in faith. And then those who never were raised in a Jewish culture, they were the Gentiles, and they have come in faith, and now they're under one roof. You know, back in those days, it wasn't like, well, I'm just going to go down the street to another church. There was no really other church down the street. They had to learn how to love one another and deal with one another. Sadly, here, what you hear is, you know, there's first church, second church, third church, fourth church, so people get upset. People can't handle the friction, and then they move on. That's not the circumstances here. There's one church, Paul's writing to it, and he's trying to get them to find and focus on the unity of Jesus. So, brothers and sisters, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved, for I testify about them that they are zealous for God, but their zeal is not based on knowledge. Since they did not know the righteousness of God and sought to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. Christ is the culmination of the law so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. What Paul is saying here, and he's trying, we're trying to understand, is that he's beginning to express deep burdens for his people, the Israelites. But the Israelites are confused, thinking that because they're Israelites, they are people of the faith. And we have a problem here that's in the church, is that they have lots of zeal without knowledge, and they try to establish their own righteousness rather than accepting God's righteousness in Christ. So what does that mean for us? What does this mean for you? What does it mean for me? Is that sometimes zeal is good. Zeal is good, but it can only be really good if it's grounded in truth. Amen? I know a lot of people who have a lot of zeal, but it has to be grounded in truth. The true foundation of salvation is Jesus Christ alone. One of our biggest challenges, I would say, in the West, in America, is that as Christians, we have this wrong idea about faith, and maybe we fall into this works, and so we like to keep receipts. For a long time, I didn't understand what keeping receipts meant, although I keep receipts all the time. But it's like, hey, I'm keeping receipts so that one day you can reimburse me. I'm going to turn in my receipts because I did this, 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 and this, and I did this. And I did this for you, Lord, and I did this for you, and so I'm going to turn in my receipts so that I can get reimbursed. And that's not how it works. It's through Jesus Christ. It's not how many receipts you have in your wallet. It's faith in Christ. So there is a difference between sincere zeal, but misguided by wrong thinking. We must have the right approach and look at Scripture and look at Jesus. He is the answer. A long, long time ago, I did something really foolish. I was zealous for, I was married to Robin. We were just newly married. Robin is not from my hometown. She is from another state. And I wanted to show her, not just tell her about the rough areas of my town. So I was zealous about showing her that, the rough parts of town. So I decided to go down this one street down Sarasota to go through literally the heart of a rough part of town because I wanted to show her. I was very zealous. And in my mind, I knew how to get from point A to point B. And so it was a straight shot. So I decided to tell her, hey, honey, I know you're brand new to Sarasota, but I wanna share some truth with you. And I was very zealous. So I go down this street, and I go about two blocks, and behold, to my amazement, the road was blocked, and there was a detour. And so I decided to ignore the detour signs, and I said, I know a better way. And so I made a quick left, and then I made another quick left. I was thinking I can just come back and hit the main road and get out. But I didn't know that it was the neighborhood got worse. And so as soon as I turned into the street, it was already dark. The sun had already set. And out of the blue, about 12, probably more, men were blocking the street. They were kind of hanging out in the corners, and they see this white Sentra pop in, you know, into their neighborhood, and they block the street. So now I'm blocked and I'm surrounded. So I did what any good young husband did. As the man approached my window, I rolled down my window. You guys, anybody ever rolled down a window like this? I have a truck that still does that. I rolled it down about 2 inches, and he's standing above my car, and he goes, hey, what can I do for you? And I said, nothing. I'm just trying to get through. And he did something I was not expecting. He crouched down and looked into the car, and he saw Robin, 21-year-old Robin. And he looks at her, and he says, hey, how about sharing some sugar with me? poor Robin. So I did what I could do is I just put my car in first gear and I gunned it and they got out of the way and I was able to get out of the way and get out of harm's way. It took a while for Robin to forgive me. I was zealous. I thought my decisions were based on truth, but I was erroneous. The point I'm trying to make is that sometimes when you're sincere and you think it's a good decision, but you're not going to end up in the right destination. Back in the day, I had a really good friend who was part of a church. And because we're on YouTube, and I'm not wanting hate mail, I'll just keep it vague so you can figure it out yourself. They have a brand new building on Thomasville Road, way up there. And this person kept telling me about, you know, her religion. And I kept thinking to myself, this doesn't sound right, but, you know, I wasn't too aware of the foundational truths of the gospel. Still pretty new in my faith. And this person was really sincere. And they kept talking about Jesus, but it wasn't until later on that I recognized it's not the same Jesus. It's a different Jesus. Sincere, but missing the truth. And what we're going to learn here as we read is that without Christ, our righteousness is like a wrong map going down the wrong road. It feels right, but it leads to a dead end. And so as we read on in Romans chapter 10, verse 5, it says, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring news, good news. What does this mean? Is that faith begins with hearing the gospel. And you need to know what the gospel is. So that means you and I have to do our due diligence and read the word. Don't just go by someone's good intentions. That's why we have to be careful who we're listening to on social media and, you know, little reels here and there and any, you know, TikTok. It may sound good. It may feel good, but it doesn't make it good and true. But you wouldn't know that unless you know the truth. You know, I was told a long, long time ago, my brother back in the day worked for the FBI. And of course, they do some training about how do you tell counterfeit money. And that was a big thing back then. And the way you tell counterfeit money is by knowing what the real money is. You take that $1 bill and you study the real dollar bill so that when a fake one comes by, you already know. But if you don't study the real dollar bill, you won't know if a fake one comes through. Has anybody ever been given a counterfeit bill? Yeah, I was. In Colombia, I got ripped off big time. So another Colombian raised their hands. All the Colombians raised their hands. man, yes, I got ripped off big time in Colombia with a $20 bill. It was fake. But in order to know what truth is, you have to study and learn and experience the truth. So faith begins with hearing the gospel, the truth. And hearing the gospel requires us to proclaim the gospel. And Paul makes it clear that proclaiming the gospel is not optional. It's the means by which people hear and come to faith. And Paul talks about the emphasis of preaching the gospel. Now, preaching comes in all different forms. Typical preachers on a stage or a missionary going overseas. But I would say there's informal preaching. The ones that are the believers who share their faith in everyday life. Sharing the gospel in conversations is a primary way the lost hear the good news. But Paul is saying to his the church in Rome, but we are extrapolating this truth that all of us are called to share the message of salvation. When I was young and zealous, I thought the best way to share the gospel was to leave little gospel tracts in, you know, strategic places, like men's bathrooms, you know, this is pre-cell phone days, or a laundromat, or, you know, pop it in someone's mailbox. Anybody ever do that? Yeah, just me? Yes. Zealous to share the good news, but I thought maybe putting a little pamphlet in someone's mailbox was the best way to do it. But I found that the best way to do it is through conversation, like from a father to a son, or a mother to a daughter, or a brother to a brother, or a neighbor to a neighbor, or a coworker speaking to another coworker. And sometimes I remember in the past, we would go out on campus and just talk to random individuals. But it was talking to someone. It was sharing our faith. You know, back in the day, we used to call it going out two by twos. Just walking out and, hey, have you ever thought about life after death? What do you think about God? Have you ever thought about Jesus? Do you know who Jesus is? Just a casual conversation. But the Bible tells us, Paul is telling us this. How can they call on the one of if they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. And each of us, Paul is saying to his church and us, that each of us are called to share the message of salvation. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news is a reminder that those who share the gospel are doing the most important work in the world. So don't, parents, don't underestimate you're doing this work at the dinner table or at bedtime or devotions as a family. You are bringing the good news. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. So I want to encourage you, if you're speaking to a coworker or to a neighbor, it's important that we share the good news. And Paul is admonishing and encouraging the church that this is important. How can they believe if they've not heard? How can they hear if someone's not telling them? How can someone tell them if they haven't been sent? And God is calling us that we are all sent. And I would even say friend to friend or sibling to sibling or family member to family member. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Just consider how powerful a message is delivered at the right time. Have you ever been given, like life-saving advice at the right time? A parent giving great advice and guidance at the right time. And so think of it when you're sharing the gospel, when you deliver it with urgency and love, it can save people's lives at the right time. And what you and I need to do is we need to really pray and say, God, give us wisdom, give us discernment. When is the right time? I ride motorcycles from time to time, and I remember a friend of mine telling me and reminding me to use the front brake because I've read bicycles before, and you don't really want to ride that front brake. What happens when you press hard on that front brake, right? And so I just thought, because I thought, you know, that same principle is the same with the motorcycle, but it's not the case. Just so you know, you press your bike will compress because of the shocks, so it'll press down. You're not going to flip over. And so 70% of your braking is front brake. But I didn't know that. And Some guy just randomly told me that truth because he saw me as I was riding that I was using the back brake. And then lo and behold, a day later on this long ride, you know, I had to stop quickly. Thank you, Lord, that I was able to use that front brake and I could, that bike compressed and stopped. So it was a timely advice and insight of truth. And I believe God wants us to also be aware. So that guy was watching me and he gave me some, and I didn't even ask for advice, but I appreciate it so much. Let's move on to chapter 10, verse 16. But not all the Israelites accepted the good news. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. And while the gospel is proclaimed, not everyone will accept it. You guys probably already know that. We all do. And Paul acknowledges that it's difficult sometimes to share the good news because not everybody's going to think it's good news. And even though it's free and available to all, people still question, is this really good news? And in spite or despite human rejection, faith comes from hearing the message. And the message is about what? Jesus. Salvation is not about how you keep receipts so you can turn them in and you can earn your way into heaven. It's about Christ and what he did on the cross. Amen. So what are we to take from this today? That God offers salvation through faith is available to all of us. All of us. Not just religious people, but all of us. People who've never heard the gospel. Those who've been raised in the church. All of us need Jesus. And I love this about the gospel. It breaks down all barriers. And we are not to be discouraged when people reject the message, but we must remember it's always our responsibility to reach those around us. It's our, what I would call our sphere of influence. It's our responsibility to proclaim the good news. It's our responsibility to proclaim the good news, but it's God's responsibility to bring the increase, not to put anybody, James is there. I see Brother James. James is our Chi Alpha missionary, and Brian or Cecile's here, right? Somewhere, there she is. James and Amber go out onto, he's been doing this recently, and I don't know if you want me to share it, but he's been going out to College Avenue. It is College Avenue, yes. And sharing the gospel on Friday nights. There's an establishment there. And he goes and he shares the gospel. Brian and Cecile go out and reach international students, people who have never heard the gospel. I just talked to Brian last week and he talked about, I believe they were from the Middle East. They've never heard the gospel story. Never. And so they go out and they preach the gospel. Our job is to share the good news. It's God's job to bring in the harvest and the increase. I'm going to pick on some people. I won't pick on all of you. Pick on a good way. I had the blessing to go see, Ed's not here, I don't think, but Ed, John's father-in-law, he goes to assisted living place right off of Mahan Drive and takes his guitar and he sings songs and he preaches a message to these elderly folk that are worthy of being preached the message, right? He does that and preaches the good news. I was blessed to sit and hear him out. What a phenomenal presentation of the gospel. And again, I'm just picking on some people, and I know Nicole's downstairs, but John, just watching you and seeing you interact with your family has been a blessing to me. I happened to go to the Leon High School football alumni, so I don't know what it was, but just to hear your parents talk about you, John, you weren't there yet, tells me that you are too sharing the gospel. And there are, I could probably call on every single one of you. But don't underestimate sharing that Bible story, what you're telling your kids about the good news of Jesus. Or if you're ever helped downstairs in kids' church or working with our team, all of us are called to share the gospel with your family, your friends, or coworkers. And so it's our responsibility to share the good news, whether at work, school, or in your neighborhood. And so let me repeat again how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Now, of course, the best way to preach is living it out. And so let me encourage you to really live it out in front of your family, your friends. You know, Thanksgiving's coming, and usually that can be tense moments in family. It's a great opportunity to live out the gospel, showing that Christ is in you, that you have the peace that only Jesus can bring, and being that person that cares for the unwanted and those who are marginalized, I believe God can use you to preach the gospel. So God's calling us through this passage, and he's encouraging us. Lord, who has believed, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ in verse 16 and 17. So that's our job. Our duty is to follow the Lord. It's not a loathsome job, and somehow, we just have to begrudgingly do it. But the Lord has empowered us. He's given us joy and peace. The same freedom that you have, the same joy that you have, the same peace that you have, God wants that for your people around you. Amen? And so, Romans 10 reminds us of the power of the necessity of faith in Jesus. It's not enough to have cultural connections. You have to have faith in Jesus. Romans chapter 10 is calling us to proclaim the gospel, because faith comes from hearing the message of Christ. And the third thing, again, remind us that salvation is available to all of us. There is no distinction in the grace of God, and no one is beyond the reach of the gospel. So I'm going to ask you to close your eyes and bow your heads, and I'm going to ask Bryce to bring his team up. If you are a believer, you've placed your life in Christ, I want you to just reflect for a moment on your role in sharing the gospel. And maybe the Lord is speaking to you that maybe you can take more steps or a step in proclaiming Christ to someone who has not heard or believed. I'm going to, James, is Amber downstairs? Okay, why don't you come on up, James? I'm going to put you on the spot. So how can you take a step today in proclaiming Christ to someone who's not heard or believed? I believe God's going to give you a name, a person, a face, and I believe God's going to put that on your heart. Let me encourage you. Step one is just pray for that person. And then ask the Lord to give you wisdom and how best to approach that person. Now, don't do it foolhardily. Don't assume anything, but definitely begin with prayer for that person. And so in a moment, I'm gonna pray for you. If that's you, say, you know, the Lord gave me a name or a face. If that's you, just raise your hand. We're gonna pray for you. Amen. James, can you pray for our church family? That name or that face, that God would give us wisdom and discernment how to do that.
Oh, Lord Jesus, you want all people to come to know you, Lord. Yes. And the truth is that you love the people we're thinking of even more than we love them. That you care about that uncle or that brother, that daughter, that sister, more than we do. That you knew them while they're even yet to be, that you fashioned them carefully, and that you have a good plan for all of their lives, Lord Jesus. Lord, can we remember and trust you in this, Lord, that you love them too, and that you've been working on their hearts, and that our part is just to say something, to initiate a conversation because we love them, Lord. Lord, I ask God that you would help purify our hearts and that we wouldn't want to talk to people about you because we are judgmental or we're critical or, you know, we just want them to know that we're right. But Lord, we just sincerely want them to know you, God, that we want them to have the same life that we have in you. We want to see them set free from all the bondage that they live in and the dysfunction that they have, Lord, that they would live a life full of peace and joy and plenty in you, Lord Jesus. Lord, you give us the courage, Lord Jesus, to share the little that we know.
Yes.
And realize that we don't have to give the things that we don't have. We just have to introduce them to the person we know. In Jesus' name.
We're going to just pray for maybe that person that is lost. And I'm going to ask Cecile to pray for us. Family members, friends, good friends that desperately need to hear the good news. Cecile, could you pray for us?
Lord, thank you. Thank you for the people that you have placed in our circle of influence. It is your plan that we are their friends or their family or their co-workers right now.
Right.
God, we cannot do it on our own, but Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit in us, you will work through us, God. And thank you for that privilege. Lord, we pray for every co-worker, every friend, every family member that we have been asking you for a long time to get saved. We pray you will do that right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus. This year, next year, in your perfect time, thank you for the promise that the prayer of the righteous availeth much. Thank you, God, that by your kindness, you will call people to repentance. Thank you, God, that it is your will that not anyone perish, but have everlasting life. We have people in our minds right now. Lord, it is not by accident that you have brought to remembrance all those people that we prayed for. Thank you. Thank you in advance for saving them. Thank you in advance that you're going to make a difference in their lives, that what is status quo is not going to be the same anymore, because you are going to use us, Lord, to bring them to Christ. Thank you for the honor and the privilege for calling us first to be your children.
Yes.
Thank you, God. We just rejoice in advance for what you're going to do. Nothing is in vain in your kingdom, God. When we pray, you will answer. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Help us to be faithful. Help us, Lord, to be patient. Help us, Lord, to be persevering in our prayers and never give up, because you will answer in your perfect time. In Jesus' name, we ask all these things. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Let's go ahead and stand. Just remind us that, you know, the story of me going down the wrong road was zealous without knowing the full truth. And we need to make sure we know the truth, which is Jesus Christ. Faith in Jesus brings us true liberty and forgiveness. Amen. Let's sing this song as we ask the Lord to just seal what he's telling us this morning as a church.
We want to thank you for listening. We pray that you were blessed and encouraged. If you like what you heard today, subscribe to this podcast and listen whenever you like. To find out more about Mosaic Church, please visit www.mosaicchurchtlh.com.